we've been looking at, if you have the book of Colossians, come with me to book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 15. And I've been looking at the book of Philemon and following on now with the book of Colossians. We're doing a series for the next number of weeks. And this morning is called There Is Only One Hope, as you can see on our screens. Who's glad there's only one hope? Because it gets a bit confusing. And this is a lot what Colossians is about, that it can be, you can start out well, even in the Christian walk, but before too long, and this was what happened with the Colossians, after a few years of believing and believing what Epaphras, who was one of the leaders of the church in Colossae, had talked about, and they started to believe the Bible, but other stuff as well. And I think it's important, especially as Australia is becoming so multicultural, that we believe only one hope. And his name is? In fact, his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The doctrine of God right there. There's all three combined in one. He is, when we baptize people, we baptize them into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a significant thing. And in Colossians, in fact, I haven't got the New King James with me. Have we got it on the screen? Did I have it there? Okay. So he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through and for him. That's an interesting statement. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. One of the main purposes of Paul writing Colossians, like I said, was to show that we are not on equal footing. We are not on equal footing with Buddha. We're not even on equal footing with Moses. We're not on equal footing with Muhammad. We're not on equal footing with Socrates. Jesus Christ is Lord. And so, a modern day example would be that Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses believe in it, that they would be Christians. But they do not believe that they're saved. Mormons particularly don't believe that they're saved by grace. And if you're not saved by grace, then there's no Jesus. It's all works. And so you become quite cultish. And so we want to believe in the one who created us before the creation of the world. He was there. Before. Mormonism's only actually been around since 1830. Joseph Smith. And so we can easily, that's just one example, the Colossians face the same thing. You know there's many other beliefs in our world today. There's so many different beliefs that we can have. I'm glad that I believe that Jesus is Lord of my life. Jesus is Lord. Say it with me. Jesus is Lord. And so to truly, here's a scripture. All scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God, and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. We need to know that the Bible teaches us that we've got to correct our lives. That there's things in our lives that perhaps need adjusting. And the beauty of having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, not just a belief system, is that the Holy Spirit, who's glad we prayed that song this morning, and that the Holy Spirit regenerates us and makes us go, you know what, you need to adjust that area of your life. Sometimes I can be driving along in the car and the Lord speaks to me about a situation, normally about my family, and I need to just buck my ears up, something like that. Is anyone in the same boat as me? You know, you shouldn't have been so harsh with them, Nigel. Why did you do that? You know, and so it's the Lord Jesus Christ that was helped create us. That is why he's such an amazing part of our world. And so when Paul says in verse 15 of Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, he is demonstrating that Christ is more powerful than anyone or anything else. Christ is more powerful than anyone or anything else. And so the more you know about Jesus, It will guard you against false teachers and prophets and other things that can come. So that the more you read the Bible, the more you'll be in tune with what God has for your life. Open the Word of God. If you're young person, which is these days under 40, I still don't make it. I used to. Get on your telephone when you're having your devotions or when you're having your Weet-Bix or whatever, and then read the Bible. Read the Bible. Turn to your neighbor and say, read the Word of God. And right now, why not read Colossians, since we're reading it anyway? Because Christ is Lord of your life, then the Word is important to you. And so, it's interesting what it says in the Message Bible. In Colossians 1:15, we look at this Son and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this Son and see God's original purpose in everything created. And so every intention of purpose of God is found through the Son. He is the invisible image of God. He is over. Say it with me. He is over. He is the highest of all kings. Christ has been tremendously exalted. He has the most exalted status in the cosmic, whatever you want to call it. You know, if you believe there's life beyond our planet, then he's over that too. I don't mind, as long as you realize that Jesus is Lord of all. You know, beyond out there, well, great, but Jesus is still Lord because he created everything. Yes? Come on, he's Lord. Say it with me again. He's Lord. And so in John 1:3, it says, he, Jesus, I put the Jesus in, created everything there is. Nothing exists that he didn't make. And so I've got a picture here. Let's have a look. This is, he's over all. Okay, I think you've got the picture. Jesus is what? He's over. He's over. He's over all. And so he's over your relationships with your friends. He's over your boyfriend and girlfriend. My cuz. He's over. Yes, niece, yes. It's your cuz, yeah. He's over. He's over. I love correcting me. He's over. Say it with me. He's over. He's over the planet. He's over the universe. He's over the cosmos. That's the only picture I could find. I thought it did it justice anyway. Pretty cool outfits, Africans, eh? Christ is over every person. Say it with me now. Christ is over me. Christ is over my wife. Christ is over my husband. Christ is over my boyfriend. Christ is over my girlfriend. Christ is over my family. Christ is over my business. Christ is over my work. What else? Studies, school. Christ is over. He's over religion. Aha, that's an interesting one. No such thing, my goodness. See, Christ doesn't believe in religion. He believes in the power of the resurrected Word of God. He walked the earth. Is it saying John also that he's the Word of God? And so when you get the Word of God into your spirit, you're alive on the inside. You are over all. And that's why we can pray like we do for other situations and countries. And that's why we can get a burden in our heart like Susan and the guys did this morning for their country. Because Christ is over all and he's the only hope of this world. Christ is over every sport and every leisure activity. You wouldn't know it half the time when you turn on the television. But if you should know it in your world. I love to go surfing, most of you know. I love to actually go diving. Yes, even with the sharks, I probably will go. Truth is, that's the truth. It's just the way it is. If I get eaten, I'll go to heaven. And then Christ will be over my family. And they will miss me for 5 minutes and move on. That's life. Christ is over every holiday. Now, there's an interesting thought. You want woman for a night? Did you go away on holidays? I was asked, did I want some Viagra last time I went to Indonesia? I'm thinking, I'm a bit young, thank you very much. But they ask you all sorts of things. It's very easy to get taken up when you're in a holiday mode unless Christ is Lord of all. Yeah. Do you get my point? Yeah. Come on. Unless Christ is Lord of all, you might go, well, that's a bit of hanky-panky, no one's going to know. Well, yes, they are. Christ's going to know, and he's not going to be Lord of your life anymore. That person's going to have authority over your life, and they've got problems. Why would you do it? If Christ is Lord, he's Lord. He's Lord. You know, when I was in Lausanne, Switzerland, I got offered by a man for a date for the night in a restaurant. Andrew and I there together. And Andrea, and you know, the best thing you can do in those situations, well, I went bright red, actually. Nice looking young man, but hey, that's, you know. But this is our world we live in. Christ has to be all. Christ has to be over all. Long story short, we had a great chat with him. And Andrea asks in the end, because Andrea was loving that I was actually going red and blushing. Actually, this was in Switzerland, and we're at the dinner table, and she actually said, guess what he does for a living? And then he couldn't guess. Guessed all sorts of things except a minister. And then I said, well, I was a pastor. And he goes, a long time ago, I used to go to church. The conversation changed. There was an opportunity. You don't have to be all, woo. Work with what we've got, guys. Because then Christ is over all. And he went back to his bigger boyfriend. But you know what? Something had happened inside of him. Let's have Christ as over all. Yes? He's over all. And some of the Colossians were believing that angels were really important, so important that they began worshipping them. Some Christians think another person is more important than Christ. Some Christians think their work is more important. Some Christians think their children are more important. Some think their belongings are more important. Some their sport more important. In the beginning, the Word already existed. Who believes he's worth honouring, worth giving praise? And so I want to finish with this statement. Or this little theme, by him, by him. Everything we have is what? By him. And so in Colossians 1:18, it says Christ is the head of the church. Who's the head of the church? Not a committee? Not I want that change. Why is that happening? Why is the music so loud? Come to church with earplugs if you need to. I don't mind. He is the first of all who will rise from the dead, so he is first in everything. And Paul has switched focus from the whole universe to the new creation. He's talking about the church. And what Paul is saying is that Jesus Christ created the church. Are you with me this morning? See, Jesus Christ, it wasn't a man-made thing. Jesus Christ created what? The church. Say it with me, Jesus Christ created the church. Andrew and I have some friends who created stage one of what is going to be an incredibly large water park north of the river. Some of you know it. We're glad to be associated with them because they've been good friends, with or without money. We're the ones without money. And walking around that entire facility and the land that they've acquired is quite breathtaking and quite remarkable how they've acquired it. It really has been the hand of God. There's more land than you realise, if you've ever been up there or you're going. In fact, one of our families is. It really is a little slice of heaven. And there's room for the next stage. And my friend said, come up here. And so we went up there, Andrew and I and this other couple that own this place. And he showed me, he says, look, there's stage two and there's stage three and there's stage four. And I'm like, wow. I was just like blown away. And look, stage one's pretty good. This guy's gone from being a signwriter to a businessman who, you know, I don't know his wealth, but it's more than mine. I can guarantee you that. But the church started with Jesus Christ, and he was stage one. But I have to warn you, his plans for your life are incredible. Who thought they'd be giving funds to Ebola virus in Liberia? See, his plans are remarkable for your life. And, you know, you look at it and go, stage one, you get become a Christian. But that's just the beginning. God has more plans for you. God has more. Wherever country you're from or going back to this morning, whatever your situation, God has so much more than you're doing right now. And when he is overall, come back to that overall picture, Jesus, overall, over the earth. Come on, help me. He's overall. He's overall. And when we make Christ overall, we come to church. Well, that'd be an interesting point. We don't just come to church once a month. We come to church. Because if Jesus is Christ of all, then he's Lord of where? The church. Come to church. Because it's the church that's going to make a difference, because Christ is Lord of the church. Amen, sister. He's Lord. Father, today we pray that you become Lord of all. Be Lord of our lives. Father, today I pray that we would recognize who you are in our world. Yes, we need to work. But Father, I pray that you would be Lord in our workplace, and that we would recognize that the money that we receive, it's from you. And so we bring, as Lord of your life, we bring it onto the altar of God, and we bring our tithes and offerings because you're Lord. Lord, I pray, Father, that because you're Lord of all, when people get sick in our family, Father, whoever they are, or people around us are sick, Lord, we would pray for them because you are Lord of all. Father, when situations and problems coming up in our life, I pray that we don't run the other way and say, well, Lord, you're not helping. We actually cement ourselves in and say, Lord, you are the one that can change this situation. In the mighty name of Jesus. And the people of God said, amen.